and welcome to A Drummer's Guide To, a podcast where I talk about all the things that it takes to be a professional musician aside from actually playing your instrument. So my name is Emily Dolan-Davies and welcome. Today I'm going to talk about rejection, that cheery, cheery subject. Unfortunately, rejection is a huge, huge part of, I think, life generally, but let's just stick to the music industry because if we start going into life, this is going to be a very, very long episode for me. So, rejection. It's a nightmare. And as I say, we all go through it. It's part and parcel of being a musician, especially if you want to be professional. And I just wanted to run you through what I do when I get rejected, because it happens to me. It's happened to me. It will continue to happen to me. It's life. So, yeah, first of all, I wanted to give you some examples of when I felt rejected. And again, rejection's a funny thing because it's kind of... There's an element of subjectiveness to it, and I think that you can really frame stuff in a way that actually is beneficial to you if you know how. And yeah, like I said, I'll share the kind of ways that I managed to trick my brain into thinking that actually it's a good thing that I've been rejected, and hopefully that'll help you too. So the first sort of most obvious way that I certainly have been rejected, and if you've ever been in this situation, I'm sure that you have too, because if you haven't, then wow, you're a superhuman, and that is auditions. Now, auditions are the weirdest things anyway, like just going to an audition and the whole environment is very strange, let's face it. So inevitably, I know I certainly act very strangely when it comes to auditions. I find it very difficult to kind of relax into myself. Well, actually, more recently I've gotten better, but certainly when I was younger, oh my goodness, I was so obsessed with just being the person that they wanted that I wasn't just myself, which actually, in hindsight, would have been a much better approach because A, it's much easier being myself, and B, they might have actually wanted me as me rather than me that I thought that they wanted, but how would I know what they want because I'm like a very inexperienced human? You know, the first audition I did was when I was 16, I think, and it was for a band called The Faders. Charisse also went for that. So Charisse is my best friend that I grew up with, another drummer, currently plays with Simple Minds. She went for this audition too, and she got it and I didn't, and that was horrendous. That was a really bad bit of rejection there. But the point is that, you know, I remember thinking, right, what outfit should I wear, because, you know, they're after like a rocky kind of look and da 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 da, and I really overthought it. The silliest thing about that was, you know, obviously there's the whole playing side, which is a whole nother thing, but in terms of image, I actually was a rock kind of kid, and if I had just been myself, maybe I would have got that. But anyway, it doesn't matter because, as I'll explain later, it's not a thing. But yeah, so there you go. So rejection in auditions is horrendous. It's just only one person gets the gig. Often, you know the other people in the room as well, the other musicians, the other drummers, if you're a drummer. And yeah, it can be, personally, I used to find it very embarrassing. Now I don't. Now I'm just like, meh, move on. On to the next. And again, I will talk you through my way of thinking that helps me through that. So another type of rejection that I certainly have had, and again, weirdly, this actually links into the Faders thing, which is weird. I didn't think about that before I started recording this, was for a few years, I worked with Brian Ferry. I recorded on one of his albums called Olympia, which I'm so proud of. It's one of my proudest things to be alongside some of my favourite musicians of all time on that album. But from that point, I also started playing with him as part of his function band. So we just go out to random places around the world and do one-off shows, functions, essentially, corporate shows. And it was so much fun. It was awesome. But in 2012, there was one show that I couldn't do because I was on tour with Cher Lloyd, I think. And I asked Charisse to cover for me. And from there, we ended up actually both doing that gig. And like, it's a long story, but essentially by the end of that, they decided that they wanted Charisse over me. So that was like major rejection. I was gonna say reaction, also reaction, but rejection. And it just like really heartbreaking. Oh my goodness, I'm not good enough. They want Charisse, they don't want me, sort of thing. And it's something that I haven't really spoken about. So this is, I'm sort of delving into a world that I haven't addressed, mainly because actually I think it's taken me quite a long time to actually come back from that rejection. That was a really, really difficult, painful one for me. And I think it's because it was my best friend, is, you know, she still is one of my best friends. But because we'd grown up together, we literally started playing drums on the same day. So that kind of rejection is so front and center. It's just like, you're not good enough, she is. Oh, just horrendous rejection, horrendous. But again, I'll come on to how I kind of deal with that or dealt with that. So yeah, so there's that rejection. And then another one that I'll go over, because, and if you've listened to me for any amount of time, I've probably mentioned this before, the rejection that I had when I had my first ever professional recording session when I was 17. Wow, I had some rough times between like 16 and 17. So 17, I got called for a professional gig session by a producer. I was so excited. I went down to the studio. I'd learnt in inverted commas, learnt all the songs, all the material, got there. And long story short, couldn't do the job and essentially was asked to leave because I wasn't good enough. And that was like, that's the worst rejection that I've ever felt in my life. If you want to actually delve deeper into what that story was, if you go to A Drummer's Guide to Failure, that's what that's about. Horrendous, possibly one of the worst and best days of my life. So now the reason that I say that, because it's kind of, it makes sense. So the first thing that I do when I, because I still have rejection, this is the thing, and it might be in smaller ways, it might be in larger ways, but my approach to how I deal with it has evolved over the years, for sure. I say that because these days, if I do face any sort of rejection, the first thing I do is I will allow myself to just feel rubbish. This is something that I never did for years. I just completely ignored it. I was like, I am not worthy of feeling rubbish, whatever that sort of looks like, you know, I'm not allowed to feel rubbish. I need to just move forward and get stronger. Now, yes, yes, absolutely, move forward, get stronger. But you have to allow yourself to grieve a little bit. And that might be half an hour of just like, oh, that's lame. It might be a day. I think putting a timeline for yourself to just go, right, I'm going to allow myself to feel absolutely lame and rubbish for the rest of the day. I'm going to eat whatever I like. I'm going to go do whatever I like. But tomorrow's another day and I'm going to move forward. I think that that's really healthy. And again, because I didn't do that for so many years, the type of rejection that I was actually faced with took me much longer to get over, because I wasn't just allowing myself to go, that's pretty lame. Okay. I feel rubbish and that's okay because I'm human, like, it's fine. And then I could sort of move forward from there. So that's the next step. Moving forward is, anyone again that has followed me for any amount of time, I love taking action on stuff. I just, you know, if I can sort of do something about any situation, I'm going to do it. So that's always my way to deal with rejection. It's like, right, how can I move forward from this? And it's funny, I had a comment on one of my Instagram posts the other day. I was asking about sayings that you say to yourself that really help you. And this wonderful man, John Huff, he has a podcast as well, if you want to go and check it out, John Huff podcast. Lovely, lovely man. He said the most useful phrase that he says to himself is, "What is the truth?" And I just thought that was so powerful, I just had to share it with you guys, because it's kind of exactly what I think. I've never been able to verbalize it in such a concise way. But like, what is the truth? Now, objectively, obviously, the truth is subjective. But what is your truth? Okay, so what do I mean by that? I mean, what about this can you take from it, like, that is something that maybe is out of your control? Now, this isn't to say that you abstain from any responsibility, because that's, it kind of comes with the second part. So what is the truth and what can I take responsibility for? And I'm talking like extreme responsibility for, like, just own it and just go, you know what? I messed up. I could do better here. I should have done this. I could have done that. And just go from there. So for instance, I'll give you like an example for each of the initial examples that I gave you. So for instance, an audition. an audition, you may have not got the job, and I've been guilty of this because I didn't know the material well enough. Only once that has happened, I will never forget it. I'm still annoyed at myself about that. But it's okay. It's never happened since, can I tell you? Absolutely not. But yeah, so I knew from that audition, that one particular audition, I knew that I didn't know the material well enough. And that is fair enough. Like, I can take that and I can move forward and I can go, right, next time I am going to know this material inside and out. And as I say, I have. It's kind of an obsession. To my detriment sometimes, but it's fine. It means I always do a good job, I think, I hope. But the other, so that's the truth. That's what the, sorry, no, that's not what the truth is. That's me taking accountability for what happened. Like, all right, now what is the truth? There's another side to this. There's elements that you can't control. For instance, let's not take that one where I didn't know the material that well, but let's take another audition that I didn't get, of which there are many. I don't know what they were looking for. And that might have been a look thing. That might have been a sort of genre or style of playing thing. Now, these are things that obviously you can work on to a degree. It might have been a personality thing. There might be, and like I say, you can sort of work on these things to a degree. However, I don't feel personally that's a great use of my time. I'd rather be leaning into who I am more so that when an audition comes up that is really suited for me, playing wise, personality wise, all that sort of stuff, it's just undeniable. Like, oh, cool. You're our kind of people. Let's go. And that has actually served me really, really well, because where I find myself now, I'm often surrounded by such awesome people that I absolutely adore, not just musically, but personally. Like, I'm so lucky, I can't tell you, but it's because I've started leaning into who I am more and really showing myself as myself, which was terrifying, to be honest. But anyway, maybe that's another subject for another time. So there's that. So that was kind of the balance between taking accountability for what happened and also just going, but there are things out of my control and that's fine. It's the same with the Brian Ferry situation. You know, what did I do wrong? Well, honestly, I don't really know, but it might have been just more things that were out of my control. For instance, like maybe they preferred Charisse's performance or personality, and that's totally fine. Interestingly though, thinking about it, the performance side of it, I did work on after that happened. And thank you, Charisse, for that. and you know, our friendship got stronger because of it, weirdly. It took some time, don't get me wrong. And you know, it's because we're essentially like sisters, so it's always going to happen, but we are family. That's it. It's end of. But the point is that there were certain aspects of that that were out of my control. It was just whatever Brian was after, and that's fine. It's painful. It doesn't stop it from being painful. I spent time just going, this sucks. This sucks. I really enjoyed that gig. But things change, and that's okay. And that's something that's out of my control. The thing that was in my control was like recognizing, okay, what is it about Charisse that they probably really liked? Oh, well, she is a phenomenal performer, like absolutely incredible. And I was like, you know what? I need to get a bit better at that anyway. I was already sort of looking around that anyway. And from then I kind of pushed it, and I'm so much happier with how I perform, how I'm able to perform, how I'm able to show how much I love playing. Because it was weird. Before, I would play and I'd be loving it, but the outside wouldn't show that much. I'd mainly be playing like this. But inside, I was like, this is amazing! So, yeah, it's an interesting sort of thing to just go, huh, okay. So I sort of managed to find a way to take responsibility for that, even though that was very much out of my control in my own head at the time. And then in terms of that recording session that went horrendously wrong when I was 17, again, I'll just briefly go over everything went wrong in that. Everything. It was playing to a click. It was locking in with other musicians. It was the feel on the kit. It was the touch of the kit. It was terrible. Now, when I came home from that session, I remember saying to my parents, oh, they asked me to leave because my drum kit wasn't professional enough. What a lame excuse was that? I know that my parents were like, are you sure? Okay. But they were very sweet. They were like, okay. Just to say, that didn't mean that I was getting any new drums or anything like that. Absolutely not. But in retrospect, it was like, okay, what can I do to eliminate this? And it was, you know, that's kind of the other extreme of what you can take accountability for and what you can't. I mean, really, like, I'd say 100% of that I like to think I took accountability for, and I should have as well. Like, just extreme ownership of what went wrong there. And actually, it ended up giving me loads more, like, power to myself. It was kind of, because this is the problem, when you face rejection, as soon as you feel out of control or like you're the victim in the situation, it's kind of like you're helpless. I don't like feeling helpless. I don't know about you, I don't like feeling helpless. So I will always try and find something that I can grab hold of and go, great, I can work on that. I can actively seek to destroy that, essentially, without trying to say lyrics, but yeah, I can actively go, right, how am I going to tackle this? And with that recording session when I was 17, there was a long old list. So I was very lucky for many years that I had very specific things to concentrate on and that I could measure myself against. So but things like the Brian Ferry situation with Charisse was a little more, it was kind of, I was in the lap of the gods. I think that's why I struggled with it for such a long time, was because I felt so helpless in that situation. It's like, I can only do what I do. And that's a tough thing to reconcile, especially when it's with someone that you're so close to, you know? But anyway, like I say, came out the other side, so it's fine, stronger than ever. So that's really nice. And still so proud of the time that I had with Brian. And who knows, in the future, it may come back around, things like that. It kind of happens. But anyway, for the things that don't sort of like, you feel like helpless with and you can't control, in the same way that this new saying of what is the truth? I love that. Another thing that I do is I have a sort of coverall statement that I say to myself when things are out of my control and it's just like, well, what do I do? And I sort of recognize them and then I just say, you know what, everything happens for a reason. And I know that that's a cliche statement, and whatever you may think about it, like, find your own. But the point is that it makes me go, I'm hopeful that this has happened for a reason, and I might not know it yet, but when I look back retrospectively, I will look back and I'll go, oh, that's why that had to happen. And what I also do is I look back at certain things that have happened that may be seen as bad or whatever situations, but then I recognize where they've led me to. And if everything that's ever happened has led me to right here, I'm pretty happy, I gotta say. And I truly believe that everything happens for a reason, because yeah, good stuff has happened, but some really, really rubbish stuff has happened too. And but here I am, and I get to talk to you, and that's awesome. And I consider myself just so lucky. So I think if you are facing any type of rejection, and if you haven't already, like, I really hate to break it to you, but you will, and it's gonna suck. It's really gonna suck. What I would say, like, from my experience, is just allow yourself to go, oh, this sucks, for however long you need to. Don't take months or years, definitely not. Maybe like a few hours or a couple of days, that's fine. Do what you got to do to just lick your wounds and be kind to yourself. Like, it's okay, you're human. And then move forward. And that's through taking, like, accountability, taking responsibility for what's happened in the parts that you can. And then the things that you can't, you can then go, all right, well, that was out of my control, and everything happens for a reason, so let's just move forward and be positive. So I hope that this has helped you. Also, just know that you're not alone. Know that everyone, every single person in the music industry, bar none, has gone through some sort of rejection. And obviously it's on a scale and it's all very personal to each of us, but you're not alone there, and it's okay. And weirdly, it's kind of a rite of passage to continually go through different sort of times of rejection. And like I say, it sucks, but it kind of is what it is. So I hope that helps in some way. But anyway, if you enjoyed this episode and you want to support the podcast, you now can over on patreon.com/EmilyDrums. If you sign up over there, you'll get exclusive content, early access to episodes. And I also do Zoom hangs, which are super fun. As you know, I love to chat, but it's even better when there's people asking questions, or we can talk about like food or music or just like what we're all watching on streaming or whatever you want. So yeah, if you want to go and join that and support the podcast, then go patreon.com/EmilyDrums. Anyway, I hope that you're having a lovely day wherever you are, whatever you're up to, and I look forward to seeing you next time for another subject. All right, lots of love. See you later. Bye.